Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. We have 16 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. Boy, a little less than half of what we had on the schedule yesterday, which is the biggest ship schedule that I personally have ever seen on the river. 36 vessels. That was a lot. Caused by weather, probably mostly, because we had a period of a few days where ships could not come and go across the Columbia River Bar because the weather was just really something out there. 60-foot waves measured over the weekend. So that's all calmed down. Ships are moving. There were a lot of ships going out. As I was looking out on the river yesterday, I saw, you know, ships are usually spaced a couple of miles apart, but I saw a few of them just kind of marching their way down river and out to sea, trying to get back to their, sort of schedules of picking up and delivering cargo. So we have 16 vessels on today's schedule, 6 inbounders, 2 in the Rice Island Anchorage, 8 outbounders. In our marine weather forecast, they're going to be heading out. The ships that are heading in and heading out are going to be dealing with some weather. We have a small craft advisory for rough conditions on the Columbia River Bar through tonight. Combined seas in the main channel of the bar where the ships come and go, 12 feet building to 18 this afternoon. Now, the bar is already on yellow status. If it reaches 18 feet this afternoon, if it reaches 20, you might see the bar go on red status. And if you like to monitor this sort of thing, like I do, you can go to ColumbiaRiverBarPilots.com and look on their homepage on the lower left part of the homepage. There's a little box there that will either be green, yellow, or red, depending on the status of the bar. And what that means is the status of pilotage services on the Columbia River Bar area. If the bar pilots and the Coast Guard decide that things are just too dangerous, they will suspend their pilotage services, which effectively stops ship traffic, because the vast majority of the ships that come into the river, come and go, are all foreign flag vessels, and they are required by law to have a pilot on board. So that's a determination made on the basis of safety for all concerned, for the people on board the ships, for the pilots, and also for the safety of the environment. Because what we don't want, especially, is a shipwreck here on the Columbia. And that is a real possibility when the weather gets really difficult. So always lots of safety considerations here. We have south winds today. We have a gale warning overall in our marine weather forecasts through late tonight. We have south winds 25 to 30 knots, gusting to 45 later in the afternoon. Combined seas 10 feet, dominant period of 12 seconds, building to 16. With a dominant period of 11 seconds and rain in the forecast. And whenever you hear these forecasts of, say, 10 feet, 11 feet, that's the significant wave height forecast, which means that waves twice that high are certainly possible. It's an average of the third highest of the waves measured. Yeah, I believe I'm getting that right. But you can look up significant wave height. It's a meteorological definition of sea state, and you can look that up. Let's see. Let's take a look at our ship schedule. We have those 6 inbounders, the MG Sakura. We have only one inbounder and 6 in the Anchorage. Boy, I'm not even reading my... The tsunami thing this morning really kind of, put me a little sideways. That was pretty startling to everybody. We'll talk about that in a minute. Inbound, we have the New Aspiration arriving from South Korea, headed to Kalama. I believe she's bringing in steel, coils of steel. Passing Astoria around 9:30 p.m., she could be in Kalama by 3:30 a.m. On Wednesday morning. In the Astoria Anchorage, all of our vessels there are awaiting orders. The MG Sakura, the Consolidator, the Sea Marathon, the GB Corrado, the Honey Island, and the Simona Energy. In the Rice Island Anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, but you can see it from the waterfront opposite Tongue Point on the Washington side of the river. The Pegasus and the Kypros Spirit are 2 ships awaiting orders there. In our outbounders, we got some car carriers heading out to sea. The Michigan Highway leaving Portland with Hondas on board, leaving around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8 p.m. The New Century 2 leaving Portland with Toyotas on board around 2 p.m., also passing Astoria around 8 p.m. The Sheila Ann is leaving Rainier from the U.S. Gypsum plant there. I think she's a Canadian Shipping Lines vessel. She's got gypsum on board, leaving around 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. The Glovis Century is leaving Portland with Hyundais on board, another car carrier, leaving around 6 p.m., could pass Astoria around midnight. The Lyra Leader is leaving Vancouver with Subarus on board. She's leaving around 6 p.m., also passing Astoria, maybe then around midnight. but safely spaced apart, a couple of miles apart. The Zhao Galaxy leaving Kalama around 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11 o'clock tonight. The Everbest is also slated to leave Kalama around that time and pass Astoria around 11. The Ernst Oldendorf is leaving Vancouver around 7 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 1 a.m. Well, we had a heck of a thing happen this morning. Big earthquake in Alaska. Scared the bejesus out of people, I'm sure, there and here. To hear the tsunami, some kind of emergency related to tsunamis is probably all most people thought when they heard it. And as I was listening to this, reading the coverage this morning and preparing what I was going to say on the air, I realized that there's probably a little bit of confusion for people about what the verbiage means, what the wording means. So I thought we could just go over that today since it is a very maritime thing. First of all, if you want to get information about what happened with the earthquake, tsunami, TSUNAMI.gov is the United States, the U.S. Tsunami warning system. And it was a kind of, you know, kind of suspended because of the government shutdown. But from what I'm seeing, it's all working now. And if you go there, it'll show you a map of the Pacific area. And it will show you where earthquakes have happened. It will show you any alerts the government has issued and let you know what the status is. So that's a good place to start. So domestic tsunami messages are issued for the United States and Canadian coastlines and the British Virgin Islands. These messages include alerts, and they also serve to cancel alerts. So it will let you know when an alert is no longer happening. So there are four levels of tsunami alerts: warning, advisory, watch, and information statement. Each of those has a distinct meaning relating to local emergency response. So when you hear those words and you understand what they mean, it lets you know what you need to do. So let's start out with the most minimal one. If you get an information statement in your email because you signed up for an alert or on an app, it means that it's letting you know something happened. There is no threat to you where you are. It could be a very distant event for which the hazard has not been determined. But the point is that with an information statement, no action is required on your part at this time. Now, the next step up in severity is a watch, which is what we had here. The potential hazard was not yet known. So the emergency responders were letting you know that something had happened and you need to be paying attention. What you needed to do was stay tuned for more information and be prepared to act. But it's not an evacuation situation. The next one is an advisory. It means that something's occurred and strong currents and waves dangerous to people in or near the water could be an issue. So it means stay out of the water. Stay away from beaches and waterways if you're on one. Now, if you hear a warning is the most severe. It means that something has happened that is going to affect you where you are. Dangerous coastal flooding and powerful currents, that's the time to head to high ground or inland. Now, this is all for distant events that could send a tsunami to us, in this case of Alaska, in a couple of hours, or in case of Hawaii, say, or Japan, maybe several hours. So this is what, if you have time to look and see what's going on and think about it, this is a distant event. But if you feel the earthquake, all bets are off. If you feel an earthquake that goes on for, say, a minute, you should be moving to high ground if you are here in our area and in an area that is subject to flooding. You should just be getting out of the way just in case. You can always go back when everything is canceled. So this just gives you an idea. You can look all this up on the U.S. Tsunami Warning System website. These definitions are all there and review them. But basically, the words that are used give you an idea of, you know, how much you should be acting in response to that alert. So I hope this helps to reassure you that this morning was not something that there was ever a serious tsunami threat for here. But, you know, there are aftershocks happening. We need to be prepared. Get that go bag together if you don't have one. And be ready, because we are in a place that is prone to this kind of activity. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.